T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First fastball he saw hittable all night long, and he hit it out.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mullin today. That was the call from NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you for that highlight. Gavin Sheets homered the other night. He now has, Mark Grody, 5 home runs and 53 at-bats since coming up, and he has been a revelation, and he has been somebody who, as I've said before, oddly has been more impressive as a major leaguer than he was as a minor leaguer. This is somebody who was left out of the summer camp last year. And I bring him up because, obviously, the Sox last night, they come back, they win, and they get a home run from Abreu, and they get the big hit from Billy Hamilton, and they get Yoan Moncada almost hitting for the cycle. A lot to like about the White Sox, and there is each and every night. Gavin Sheets is at the top of the list of nice surprises. Pleasant surprises for the White Sox. And I don't want to get carried away, and I wonder, and I look forward to talking to Ozzie Guillen at 7:20. He made a comparison on the pregame show, I believe it was. Gavin Sheets, and the comp that he used was video showing Gavin Sheets' home run swing, which I think is a beautiful thing to watch. If you like baseball and you like mechanic, Gavin Sheets' home run swing, great stuff. Compared him to Jim Thome. And they put him side by side. And I understand what they were looking at and why Ozzie would do that. And I think that it's still side by side, Gavin Sheets with 53 major league at bats, 5 home runs, and a Hall of Famer. High praise. Maybe over our skis a little bit. And I understand why they did it, because mechanically you can see it. They're both big left-handed hitting power hitters, the guys who stand tall in the box, and they shift their weight the same way, and the swing looks similar. But it did give me pause. Like, okay, we need to maybe check ourselves here a little bit, right?
This is what happens when a team has such a huge lead. This is where we go with things. We talked about the team being able to experiment with things like in game. Like, I think they kind of were with Michael Kopech, letting him go a few more pitches, putting Ryan Burr in high leverage now twice. These are little tryouts that they could do on the field. We're going to do the same things as broadcasters too, because you're kind of running out of plaudits or comps. Now, as far as the comp itself, I get it too. The difference is, to me, like Jim Thome, his swing was a little more vicious. There was a little more, like, he wants to tear the cover off the ball every time he comes. You know what I mean? Like, his
for a
swing,
nice guy, he attacked the baseball.
Oh, Tommy's swing was hard. Like, yeah. That was not a, like, we talk about easy power a lot. Like, that's like the new thing to discuss, easy power for players. Tommy's power was maximum. Like, swing as hard as you possibly can. I don't see that as much with Gavin Sheets as I do with Thome. So that, I'm just like breaking it down and being overly critical of the comp. I get it, but I think that Thome was up there every time trying to hit a home run.
Gavin Sheets had a walk-off the other night, and with young players in search of consistency and confidence who want that affirmation, right, that need that moment to maybe build on the next time they go through a little bit of a slump, and that's coming. You know it's coming. I mean, you wonder you wonder how long this can continue. And with Gavin Sheets, again, he's not going to end up hitting 600 home runs, I don't believe, but he could be a very valuable piece in this season. Where is his season headed, do you think? I think that's the context before we get too carried away here. Is this even going to be somebody on the major league roster next month when you get Eloy Jimenez back, if he doesn't injure himself playing left field in Charlotte, and Luis Robert, who was on the way and I think begins his rehab assignment tonight in Winston-Salem?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was sent down, if Jake Berger was sent down. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You have these guys, they came up earlier than a lot of people had thought that they would. I don't think either of those guys, especially Berger, neither of these guys was in the major league plans for this year. They just weren't. It seemed like they needed more time. Now, the answering the question of, like, how long can this last? Is it real? And I hate to use, again, since we're doing comps, there was the Yermin Mercedes. Remember Yermin Mercedes?
Yes, I do remember him.
All that historical stuff.
Oh, I love that story.
And this is a different player, obviously. Like,
when's the movie coming out?
Yeah, I'm sure he's working on it.
Is it going to be on Lifetime or ESPN?
I'd be disappointed. Probably
MLB
that's a
Network.
Good question.
Where would
Lifetime
that be?
Or, 30 for 30, maybe. I think it's 30 for 30, like, down the road, like, because we may never see Yermin Mercedes in a major league uniform again, and it would be a great story. Like, the story would actually be better.
You just killed my Gavin Sheets buzz,
but,
Brody.
But no, I was going to say.
Kind of did,
like, the ceiling is definitely, like, the pedigree is way different with Sheets and Jake Berger and fill-in-the-blank White Sox prospect. Yermin is a different case. I mean, he's a guy that's been toiling in the minor league for, what is he, 29 years old, whatever the case may be. It is different, and I think there was an expectation with Mercedes that it was going to come to an end. Now, with Sheets and Berger, they will have to adjust just the same way that Mercedes did, but I think that those guys are, at the Ross level, more talented players than Mercedes.
Can I make
was.
A suggestion?
Yes,
or at least share
love
an opinion.
Love suggestions always
I
in my
share an
life.
Opinion here.
Yeah.
I love the way the White Sox have paired these two. And you almost say effortlessly, Sheets and Berger, Berger and Sheets. And they did the nice video on the Baltimore waterfront, and they're talking to each other.
Uh-huh.
And hey, can't you believe we're drafted in the same year? And
story's
hey,
too
buddy,
good.
It's like a buddy movie, right? You can see that movie being
right.
made.
Uh-huh.
They're different, okay? And I hope that they both are mainstays on the South Side for many years to come. But in the context of this season, I can envision a playoff lineup. Having Gavin Sheets playing right field, batting whatever, wherever it is in the order, and getting a big hit. I can see that happening, right?
Depending on a matchup, absolutely.
I have a harder time envisioning that with Jake Berger. So I guess that's where I'm making the distinction. When we talk about this roster construction, who's the odd man out, it's easier for me to conceptualize Jake Berger being left out and why that makes sense. Without crushing his soul and telling him that, okay, that doesn't have anything to do with Jake Berger. That has to do with who else you have. With Gavin Sheets, I think if he continues to have these big hits at times, you want him in the lineup, and you can see him easily playing right field against a right-hander in the postseason. And so that's where I think the distinction is to be made. So Gavin Sheets probably, to me, is worth preserving and developing and counting on, and Jake Berger feels more like, in your reference, Mercedes, in that he'll help you for a short period of time, and then he may have to go back to the minor leagues.
Yeah, can he play second base, by the way, Jake Berger? Wouldn't that
be
nice?
Yeah, I think he can.
You would think you could play third, you could play second. I don't know if he has the mobility to play second base. It's definitely a different mentality. But we talked about this, too, earlier, the expendable players. I do think, and you brought up the name Brian Goodwin, I do think that he is expendable. I know he made the nice play last night, but he has been just average in the outfield.
You're talking about a guy that they trust enough to bat cleanup.
That's
I mean, the Brian Goodwin experience is more than experiment.
Who would have thought? I mean, there's so many names. But here's the thing. If Eloy and Luis Robert truly do come back and they are themselves, it doesn't matter. Like, send them – like, if Sheets, Berger, and Goodwin all go down, hell, throw Billy Hamilton in there, it doesn't matter if you get those guys, because those are your thumpers. That is your team. And then you've got these guys in your pocket, and they got a glimpse of Major League Baseball, and you can bring him back if you want.
Am I overreacting by saying that Aloy, watching him make a diving catch for Charlotte is something that made, you know, last night it was cringeworthy enough when you think, oh my gosh, they're going to trade Chris Bryant, and then you see that highlight of Aloy, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's he doing diving for a ball in left field?
I didn't see it, so I need to know the context a little bit. Is it because he misjudged the ball that he had? Was he making up space that he had
know.
To dive?
I don't know what caused him problem. To get to the point where he had to dive and slide, but he had to dive and slide.
Most of the time when he hurts himself, it's because he took a step in the wrong direction. That's the dirty little secret. It's the first step that he botches, and then he botches his body.
Mark, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That's where we find Tony in Wonder Lake. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Outside perspective on Wilson Contreras, you know, I'm a frequent flyer. You guys know I'm a Sox fan. When the Sox won the World Series in 2005, it changed my mindset, my mentality towards the organization as a whole. It was extremely difficult for me to watch and to endure the mediocrity after winning a World Series. Wilson Contreras, guy plays with a lot of passion. Everybody knows that. And his feelings sometimes, he has a hard time controlling. After winning a World Series in 2016, he is a player, and the rest of the guys that were on that core should not accept anything less than what he feels is 100%, and he wants to get back to the mountaintop. And I don't blame the guy for saying anything. Sometimes you need a voice to maybe give guys a little incentive to play harder. And for me, that's my perspective on it, looking from the outside in. Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
Tony, that's a good phone call. I do think that we agree Wilson Contreras has earned the right to say what he said. I also think that he has put himself in a position, Mark, where when Jed Hoyer talks about the next great Cub team and they start identifying assets worth keeping and others worth, you know, trading to get something in return, Wilson Contreras is somebody that I would reinvest in. Wilson Contreras is a all-star catcher, and those are hard to find. And so moving forward, doing your payroll projection, making your free agent plans, whatever it is that you do if you're Jed Hoyer talking to Tom Ricketts, I don't really care about the noise that was created one frustrating night after they were shut out two of the three games that they were after Jed Hoyer pronounced the season all but over. Wilson Contreras is somebody I think they need to keep.
And I'm so glad that you talked about his, forget all the passion and all that kind of stuff and the angst, the good angst with which Wilson Contreras plays. He's one of the best catchers in baseball from a defensive perspective and an offensive perspective. He is a rarity. He also runs the base as well. We know what kind of throwing arm he has. We forget how good Wilson Contreras is. And again, I'll say it again. He's in his sixth year with the Cubs.
Right.
When is he going to earn some right in that clubhouse to be a leader? I mean, I just, again, I don't get it. I don't understand why David Ross has not put his support behind him like Chris Bryant has and Craig Kimbrell has and presumably other players have. He is in his sixth year, and you'd think he was still in his first or second year the way he's treated and talked about.
Yeah, for whatever reason, there's this reluctance to refer to him as a leader.
Yeah, it was why like, can't he be a leader?
They can't say, like,
right.
Leader! He is a leader. He's a clubhouse leader. And he had to be thrilled last night. The Cubs did something that they hadn't done in 21 years. They won a game after trailing by five or more runs. And if you went to bed early, you missed the comeback. The Cubs come back and win that game. Ian Happ had a big part in that rally. He had the game-winning hit. Two-run double for the lead, capped a six-run final inning for the Cubs over the Cardinals. Most people, you know, talk about that game in that Chris Bryant left with an injury, all sorts of speculation. There was hug watch that commenced from the press box. We wondered if he had been traded. There's a sense of when, not if, when it comes to Chris Bryant, and I think those were some anxious moments for Cubs fans.
I wonder, too, how Cubs fans felt about the game last night. Are you mad that they score the 6 runs, and it's great, and it's fantastic. And I listened to that game, you know, on the Odyssey app, listening to Pat, Ron, and Zach last night. It sounded great, and it was awesome. But was there part of you, too, that was like, where has this been? Why am I getting these alerts on my phone about this now that the Cubs are whatever games back in the division? I just wonder how fans, like, felt. Did you compartmentalize it as one game and I'm entertained by it objectively, or where the hell has that been?
I think you probably have exhausted all of your feelings of frustration already. I mean, these games, they're fun to watch as a Cubs fan. We're in baseball season. We're in the middle of July. So, of course, you get pleasure out of listening to the radio and Pat and Ron and Zach. But do these games really matter? I mean, if they mattered, I mean, the Cubs, now they're putting on marquee. I love it. God bless them, because you have to have some hope. But the wild card standings, look, guys, hey, gang, nobody's catching the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah. All right?
That's not happening. There's going to be 3 teams from the West get into the playoffs. I don't think you're going on too far on a limb to say that here on July 21st. That the 2 wild card teams are coming from the same division.
It felt great. Now I'm figuring this out in my brain. It felt great for nothing. That's what it was. That was an awesome 9th inning for nothing.
But you can enjoy that. Not every game has to be, you know, part of the bigger picture.
But that's hard.
Or fitting in the context what they're going to do next.
That's, you know, difficult, man.
Grody, just enjoy 9 innings for what they are. You know, it's a baseball game.
If you're making me try to enjoy that 9 innings of that game, because we'd be talking about the Rex Brothers giving up 2 home runs and Trevor Williams going 5 innings and all the.
You know what? When that happened, I just felt bad for Trevor Williams' dad, who probably made the trip to St. Louis, and I'm sure that he was there in person, and he had to see, you know, his son struggle a little bit.
Yeah, but he's seen his son struggle in the past with the Pittsburgh Pirates and with the Cubs, so I'm sure he, with all due respect, he's seen it before.
Let's squeeze in a quick phone call on Bob from Bob on the Road. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to the Score.
What's up, guys? There's nothing wrong with Wilson Contreras calling out everyone. The problem I would have, and I did, is singling out everyone except him and Javi. You know, I mean, if I was every player on that team, I would be PO'd. Like Anthony Rizzo, right that same week, stepped on the baseline and fell into the netting, the wall. Hustling, you know, and then for this guy to come out and say the only ones, and it could have been a misinterpretation of the language barrier, but the signal out just him and Javi and that nobody else cares, I would be, me and him would be having a chat in behind closed doors, because you can't do that. Anybody who's played on teams know you can't just single out me and Javi are the only ones not.
Yeah, but Bob, he was. It's not like he didn't also then go through individual. He didn't say, okay, well, Anthony Rizzo's not hustling. I saw Chris Bryant dogging it the other day. I don't know what Ian Happ is thinking. Like, he wasn't doing that. Like, if you called out players, then maybe we have a conversation. But that's not what happened. He said what needed to be said. Somebody needed to say something.
Thanks, Bob. Did you just lapse into Lou Piniella?
Did I sense a little Lou there? I did not. I had no intention of doing that, but this happens to me because sometimes I turn into Grobber. It's like I'll be talking about Ryan Tepera, and I just say his name like this, and that's all you need to know. It just happens. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know who I am.
Well, I know who you are. You're Mark Grody, and he's in for Mully today. When we come back, Ozzie Guillen is next. Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
Analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My media story, La Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No, Pantera.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No holes barred baseball opinions.
See you later. Good luck, brother. It's still making you money. And go, you know what? Your next career will be WWE. They'll be waiting for you, puppy. That's pretty soon.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. And it's time now to go out to the Home Run Inn hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. And that's where we find Ozzie Guillen. Good morning, Oz.
My guys, what's going on? Good morning.
So last night, I really enjoyed your pregame comparison of Gavin Sheets to Jim Thome and the way you broke down his swing. I wanted to know if you could elaborate on that. And obviously, you're not comparing Gavin Sheets with 53 major league at-bats to a Hall of Famer, but you do see some similarities in the swing. And how sustainable do you think this is for Gavin Sheets this season, Oz?
Oh, you know, this kid's been great. You know, five home runs and not that many at-bats. Obviously, when you see the way he's approached to the plate, the way he finished his swing, the way he keep his head down to the ball is very similar to Jimmy. When Jimmy he got almost 500 home runs. If you want to emulate somebody, that's the man to do it when you're hitting. Jim told me once, one of the best power hitters I ever see. And I say last night, Jim told me he was good, but he was better with his work ethic. This guy is a workaholic. He was a guy just on the cage all day, trying to figure out how to get better. First guy in, last guy out. And it's one thing about nobody know too much about Jim Thome, the way he went by his job. And kind of similar swing, same, you know, I'm not going to say same power, but in that particular swing, they look exactly the same way from the beginning to the end.
Be great if Gavin Sheets has a career close to that of Jim Thome for sure, Ozzy.
I think half of his career.
I would too. I think all of us would, man. Michael Kopech last night, Ozzy, he goes two innings, did give up a home run, a couple of walks, but he pitched two innings last night, 40 pitches. What is this leading up to for Michael Kopech? How do you think the White Sox are going to use Kopech once they do get to the postseason?
Well, right now, I think his best shot is going to be in the bullpen. The bullpen has been shaking lately. Obviously, yesterday, Kaigo only went five innings. All of a sudden, they tried to put the gap together. It seemed like they don't know who's coming in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. Only guys is for sure is going to be in the ninth with Hendrick. But besides that, you never know what's going to be up. You know what I mean? Sometimes guys need to be know who's up, when I'm going to pitch, what situation I have to be ready mentally, physically. Right now, I don't see that happening with the White Sox. And you take Kopech out of the bullpen, that bullpen is going to be a struggle, big time. Kopech is the best one at the bullpen besides Hendrick all year long. And we see that when Kopech was hurt, how the bullpen was suffering. I miss him out there. In the playoff, it's easy because you can start three guys. Plus, you can put one guy from the starting rotation in the bullpen to help. And I think Kopech best shot for the White Sox to be better as a pitching staff is just to keep him this year in the bullpen.
Wouldn't you prefer Ozzie, and I think he's going to stay in the bullpen as well, but wouldn't you prefer Kopech doing kind of what he did in that Carlos Rodon game the other day where he's pitching the eighth inning instead of somebody like, because Ryan Burr, I hope he's good someday, but he has shown twice recently that he is not that guy late in the game. Shouldn't Kopech and Burr, like, shouldn't they have been flip-flopped last night?
Yes. There's no doubt about it. Maybe they bring Kopech because they face the harder lineup. But in the meanwhile, you know, that's why I made that comment. Like, you know, they don't know exactly where's the turn to pitch. You know, you can bring Kopech in the seven and cover up 7-8 if you have a day off the next day and bring to Hendrick. That make a perfect scenario. But I was surprised. I was surprised they went to him so early. It worked, yes. But I was very, very, very surprised they did it.
Ozzie, it was a great victory. The Sox score 5 in the eighth, and they rally for the victory, and you get contributions from Billy Hamilton and Adam Engel. You've got Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets, who you mentioned. You've got guys who were contributing. And then, by the way, here's Aloy and Luis Robert, who begins his rehab stint today. The question, I guess, comes to mind then, how badly do you need reinforcements if you're Rick Hahn, and would – the success of some of these guys and the guys coming back from injury, will it affect how aggressive you feel like you need to be in seeking maybe a second baseman or another veteran bat?
Well, right now, I think second baseman should be covered if those guys around continue to swing the bat the way they are right now. I think Moncada swing the bat better. Obviously, we see Abreu and TA on fire. If those three guys continue to do what they do, all of a sudden, this guy got to chip it in. And, you know, like I say every day, White Sox have been lucky, very lucky, with the acquisition they have and the kids they bring from the minor league. And you look at the numbers, it's not like, wow, look at those numbers. No, but if you watch this thing every day, any of those kids contribute big time to win games. And that's what you need. And, wow, having... I say a couple of days ago, I think Jimenez should be here, should be up here, be the DH. But the way those guys swing and contribute, it's kind of hard. But having Jimenez in the lineup, I'm telling you, the lineup, we got stronger, better. We'll see guys see better pitches. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, Jimenez one of the best hitters in the game last few years. And that's a great problem to have, very good problem to have. When you have so many good guys in the lineup, it's great. But I mentioned last night with the play Goodwin make with Kopech with the game on the line, I doubt Jimenez will make that play. That's one thing you change from another. You know, Jimenez, a great hitter, but those guys have been played too good, or so good. Kind of hard to bring those guys, but you know what I mean? It is what it is, and I think those guys in the lineup, we will make the lineup better. Well, in papers, it will make the lineup better.
Ozzie, obviously the Sox are in a great position, 9.5 games up on Cleveland right now. What kind of advice would you give to Tony La Russa now in this situation they are in, that they want to keep the lead strong? Because I remember back in 2005, things got a little bit uncomfortable with those Cleveland Indians before you guys did what you did and won the World Series.
Well, we played good. The Indians played a lot better. You know what I mean? Those guys in the second half, it was unreal. We win 2, they win 3, we would lose 2, they did not lose. You know, they played very well. But you look at it this way. A lot of people talk about the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Indians is even close to be what it was in 2005, even close. The lineup was strong, pitching style was great, and Tony just had to go there and make sure right now it's a little bit too early to start getting guys day off, to start back down a little bit with the pitching, and then they got to continue to push the gas all the way to, they say, okay, now just get set for the playoff. Now you got opportunity, you chance to set the starting rotation, who you want, what team you're going to face, what we're going to need the most, and go from there. But right now, I think they have to continue to play hard and to play good, to keep have fun, and you know, and see how that work out in the end of the year.
When you have a 9.5 game lead on July 21st, anything that you ask about the lineup construction is going to sound like nitpicking. But let's nitpick a little bit. Ozzy, I understand the value in Sebi Zavala and what he offers because they don't have a lot of depth behind Zach Collins with Grandal out. But it seems like we're seeing more and more of Zavala. What do you think of him, and what does he need to do to maybe make him more reliable when he does play?
You're not going to hit guys. You're not gonna, he might get you good at bat here and there, but when you're a catcher, especially with the White Sox staff, and they build, they, you know, I think they are in first place just because the consistency of the starting rotation. When you're behind the plate and you can do that job and you can keep, you know, make sure the pitching is great. You know, I don't mind to have him there. His job is not to hit. When you have a how many teams in the big league, the catcher is a great hitter. Maybe two, three. Like the catcher is a very good hitter. Posey, maybe Contreras in the north side. You know, I mean, you don't see that many guys, but the guys behind the plate is a very important. Look at Houston Astros. They got Maldonado. He can hit, but he can catch. And that's what makes it different. People, sometimes we related, like, you know, we was lucky we have Germani and Grandal for 2 months. But in the first month, Grandal was awful, bad, terrible. And all of a sudden, he got hot and he got hurt. But I think right now, if this kid continue to catch that way, I don't need the urgent to trade a catcher and lose somebody on my organization just for a catcher and just to rent a catcher for 1 day, one week, 2 weeks, 1 month. I think right now this kid should worry about catching, and the guy supposed to hit, worry about hitting. And that's the way I look at it so far.
Ozzie Billy Hamilton, a huge two-out go-ahead base hit last night. How much would you have loved having a guy like Billy Hamilton on any of your White Sox teams?
Well, it's kind of hard because Billy playing great. You know, I don't think he's played great for the White Sox. He have a clutch hitting, clutch catching, fun, stealing bases. And the way we talk about Billy, I just say last night, Billy, they will retire his number before my number. And people start laughing. I say, wow, look at Billy Hamilton. He's all as long as Mr. White Sox. But he has been played great. I like to – the thing I like about Billy Hamilton is – his attitude, fun, make everybody loose in the dugout. Every time going out there, he's doing his job. It's having fun to watch. Can he play every day? I don't think so. I don't think he can help anybody every day. You put him every day there, I think you'll be overexposed to him. But it's has been great, man. He's just making a nice plays. Yesterday he got a big hit. I never thought in my life ever Billy Hamilton will pinch it. I never think he pinch it. They might be pinch it for the pitcher in the National League. All of a sudden, like I said yesterday, everything Tony La Russa moving right now, he's playing great. Every time he pinch it, pinch run, bring somebody, they do their job, and that's nice to see. But I love Billy Hamilton overall. I really do because he brings a lot of energy to this ball club.
Ozzie, before we let you go, I know that you're debating whether or not you're going to pick up Aloy at O'Hare or Midway, but whenever you do, whatever airport it is, when you pick up his bags, can you lose his fielding glove? Because if he makes many more diving stops out like he did last night in left field at Charlotte, I think everyone's going to kind of hold their breath and be a little bit nervous watching that happen.
Well, you know what? Everybody hold their breath, even with a pop-up to left field. Even the easy play, everybody hold on his breath because I don't think this kid – he's a gold glover out there. He's, take a back route. I think, I remember saying that maybe 20 days after the opening day. I said, Greg Vaughn is all right now. Vaughn is way better left fielder than Jimenez we see for the last 4 years. And, this guy can hit. I know he wants to play the outfield because when you're so young, you don't want to be a DH because different reasons. But I think this guy, it will contribute, it will help, it will do better DHing right now for the White Sox than the outfield.
Hey, Ozzie, real quick, I am going to start a campaign today to get number 13 retired out at Guaranteed Rate Field, all right?
That'd be nice, man. That's going to be the one thing I will love. Then I can die very relaxed because in baseball or with the White Sox baseball, I did everything it was possible to make that organization have success. As a player, as a manager, as a pre-game, post-game guy, you know what I mean? Just, I love the organization. I'm very happy they play the way they are. I'm very happy for Tony doing the job when people never thought about it. And especially the way they put it together when three big boys, and went down and still in first place.
Great stuff, Ozzy. Keep up the good work.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Ozzy Guillen, White Sox legend, and soon to be have his jersey
retired. Look at that 13 up
number
there.
Number 13.
You know what I
Mark
mean?
Grody says the campaign has begun.
Let it begin.
And when we come back, we will go to Milwaukee to talk about another legend, the Milwaukee Bucks legend, after last night's epic NBA title victory over the Phoenix Suns. We'll go to Milwaukee next. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And that'll do it. It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. Thank you to ABC on the final call of the Bucks winning their first NBA title in 50 years, and for the postgame sound from Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was the MVP and had 50 points. Yes, 50 points in an epic performance. What a night in Milwaukee. What was it like to be there? We will go up to Milwaukee, and that is where we find Rami Makhlouf from 1250, the fan in Milwaukee.
What's up, fam?
Host of the Rami Show weekdays, 3 to 6 every afternoon, and that is where we find him on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Good morning, Rami. How was the last 12 hours?
Amazing, guys. Amazing. It was the biggest party this city has seen in decades, and certainly in my time here in Milwaukee. What an amazing night for this city, guys. Just pure joy around here. Although I woke up this morning to them, I don't know, they decided the day after the Bucks win a championship and the city is nursing its worst hangover ever would be the day to hammer a giant beam into the ground using a hydraulic drill in my neighborhood. So that's what I woke up to today, guys. Other than that, though, the last 12 hours have been great.
Speaking of hammer and getting hammered and things like that, I heard your colleague, the morning man there, Bart Winkler, was on The Score yesterday of the afternoon show, and he apparently there was an edict from our mutual boss, Mitch Rosen, that he was not allowed to get drunk. Rami, did you get drunk last night, and how drunk was Milwaukee last night?
Not only did Bart get that edict, I got a call saying, keep an eye out for Bart. That's job, but I know you're going to be with him, and watch out for Bart.
You're his sponsor.
I did. We behaved. I mean, drinks were had, guys, and like I said, a party was had. But Bart behaved, and as far as I know, I just got up about 20 minutes before I started talking to you. As far as I know, he got on those airwaves today, and everything is good with my boy Bart Winkler in the morning.
So, Rami, you have hosted shows, and you host shows here on The Score on weekends, and you're sure familiar with the Chicago sports fan mindset. So, I guess when you're you can look at it from you're in the midst of and in the middle of everything and the euphoria in Milwaukee. From here, the view from Chicago, I don't sense a lot of resentment or jealousy or maybe some envy because you have a superstar, and that's what happens when you have a superstar. It can lead to a title. What do you think is the context from a Chicago sports fan's perspective is on this championship in Milwaukee?
I would compare it. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, guys, born and raised in Chicago and the suburbs thereof. And I would compare this to just seeing my friends who are lifelong Bucks fans who never got to experience this in their lives, and a team that has dealt them a lot of pain. And it's very, I saw a lot of people cry last night, guys, because it's a very cathartic thing that this team that has been on the precipice a couple of times, has teased you a couple of times here in the last couple of years. But besides that, most of your life as a Bucks fan has been pain and has been suffering. It has been disappointment, and they finally come through with this thing. And when you look at this Bucks rise to the point where they are now, guys, not just on the court with stories like Giannis, who came from the streets of Greece, this spindly-armed little 18-year-old kid who had just touched a basketball 4 years ago when the Bucks drafted him, Chris Middleton, who's playing in the G League, self-made man, Drew Holiday, this sort of underrated, underappreciated superstar around the league, guys like PJ Tucker, Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, who you guys know all about. And then you look off the court, and this was a team that 10 years ago had, and God bless Herb Cole for making sure that the team stayed in the city when he sold it, but you had a team that seemed okay meddling in mediocrity and maybe making the playoffs, maybe not, never getting in the lottery. You're playing in a building that's old and dilapidated and probably cost more to keep up than it was worth. And now you look at 10 years it took, guys, to build this thing on and off the court and for all this to progress and get to this point. And in the NBA, look around. Most of the stories, most of the rises to power and contention are almost overnight. You get a lottery pick, you draft a LeBron James, you go sign a big free agent, and it changes the fortunes of the organization overnight. That's not what this was. This was a very slow climb. The Bucks earned it, and Bucks fans earned it, because it was a long ride, gentlemen, and it was worth it. It was all worth it with the celebration last night.
And Rami, I know Giannis, obviously it's a point of pride that he did not conspire with other superstars to get this. He was the superstar on that team. However, do you think that what just happened to Milwaukee will make Milwaukee, medium market, small market, however you want to characterize it, will it make it a more of a destination for free agent stars to possibly want to team up with Giannis in Milwaukee?
If that's going to happen, Grody, it's not going to happen for at least 3-4 years. If you look at the financial situation of the Bucks, and after being locked, they're locked into Giannis, obviously. They just gave Drew a new deal. I think it was last season they gave Chris Middleton a new deal. So that big three is together. I think contractually those three are tied for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know off the top of my head. But I could see that happening, Grody. I don't know what – I guess I do know what the bad rap is about Milwaukee when it comes to NBA stars. It's not the biggest market. It's not the flashiest market. It doesn't have, you know, the nightclubs and things that young men with lots of money who and high profiles really want. But that's never been – what Giannis wanted. I actually think, guys, being sort of a small market and being able to kind of fly under the radar is part of the reason why Giannis is still here. He's not your typical NBA superstar. He talks all the time about how when he's not playing basketball, this is a 26-year-old kid, guys. He just wants to go home and be with his significant other and his baby Liam and watch Netflix. Like, he's not looking for the same stuff that a lot of other young NBA superstars are. So I don't know that necessarily changes. Like I said, if it does, and if superstars do want to come here, they're going to have to wait 3 years until some money frees up.
Rami, before we let you go, it seemed as if that in the report suggests that it was as safe as you could have expected for having 65,000 people gathered in one spot. Have there been any reports to the contrary? And is this just good practice for the Brewers World Series parade?
I was out there last night, guys. I was one of the 65,000 and walking the streets just a little bit, trying to get to my ride after the game. And I didn't see anything but people celebrating responsibly and everybody getting along great. I just woke up 20 minutes before I started talking to you guys. So if there was a report of something else happening, I have not seen it yet. I'm sorry, David. What was the second part of your question?
Brewers. The Brewers parade. Oh. Is that next?
Guys, two things are going to need to happen if the Brewers are going to have a parade. Christian Yelich needs to start hitting like Christian Yelich, and we're kind of starting to see that right now, and they're probably going to have to go get another bat. This offense just isn't consistent enough. The pitching and run prevention is outstanding with this team, and you never know in the Major League Baseball playoffs. They're very random. You catch lightning in a bottle with that lineup, and sure, they can make a deep October run, but I feel much better about their chances if they could get one more bat, some pop, and Christian Yelich could start putting balls over walls, because that's what makes this offense go.
Balls over walls. I like that.
Rami, thanks so much for getting up. Have a great show today. Enjoy the euphoria in Milwaukee.
Appreciate you, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Rami Makhlouf, the host of 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee every weekday, 3 to 6, also hosts shows here on The Score. Has to be just one of the highlights. You love this kind of stuff when you host and you're in the media in a town that is celebrating a championship.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, like when the Cubs won, I mean, I was obviously doing pre and post, so
yep.
I was a huge part of that, and so was everybody at The Score and in town. Yeah, it is just – you just press the button and bring fans on. It is an absolute blast.
When we come back, we'll press the button, and Tommy Hotovy will be on the other end. Mark Grody in for Molly Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.